Weaves. Today's episode is brought to you by Naked Nutrition. Naked Nutrition provides you pure protein powders and supplements to help you meet your nutrition needs and your fitness goals. Naked Nutrition is completely transparent about the ingredients. That way, you know exactly what you're putting inside your body. No additives means your body gets more of what it needs, and I suggest checking out the grass-fed whey protein powder. Right now, you can get 10% off of your first purchase at nakednutrition.com by using the code POD. And that's 10% off using the code POD POD for the first time customers. Taking nutrition to the next level with Naked Nutrition. Now, enjoy the show. Hey yo, what's up everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Weebcast. And to a pretty exciting episode for me because I haven't done one of these types of episodes before, but I am excited and I'm pretty confident that I can do it better than your favorite anime website. That's kind of like a list. Now, I should say that this is different from just, like I said, this is different from your typical lists. In the case that this ain't information or stuff that you can just find on Wikipedia or maybe the Code Geass Wiki, and certainly not one of those videos that you would watch on YouTube, where you would find, you know, stuff that a quick Google search could lend you. And I wanted it to be a little different. I wanted it to be a little more exciting. I wanted it to be better than that because that's what we do at Weebcast. We do it better. At least I like to think so. But like I said, I am C-Dub. And if this is your first episode here on Weebcast or your 42nd episode or 43rd episode, I'm losing track. But what if this is your first time or you're a return viewer, listener? I'm messing up all up today. This is C-Dub, a.k.a. Chris, a.k.a. Mori, a.k.a. the independent variable, a.k.a. the guy who has survived the greatest November month challenge any man can take on. Yes, it's the all water November challenge. I'm out on the other side and I've completed it. Not only do I feel stronger, but I feel like I could take on maybe fourth gear Luffy, or maybe even take on at least maybe Super Saiyan 3 Goku. That's how good I feel. And am I going to continue this challenge into December? That might be a big fat no, but like I said, I will keep the tradition, keep on trucking in for next November. Maybe I'll be a lot better. I'll be a little bit more prepared in my only water challenge. But I hope you guys are doing great, doing lovely on this. If you're listening to this on a Friday afternoon, take some time, enjoy the weather. If it's pretty actually nice out where I'm at right now, the weather looks pretty damn good. And what's better to spend some of that great, lovely sunshine, nice fall breeze, than talk about some anime? And in this case, I'm going to be talking some Code Geass because, look, I'm doing this episode because the news has already dropped. If you haven't seen it, from a few days ago, that the official Twitter account on the Code Geass project announced on, it's been almost about a week and a half, that the new project that has just been released, and they had a little way, they unveiled it on YouTube Live, on December 5th, I believe, at 8 p.m. JST time, And so I was like, you know, what's better than to celebrate new Code Geass project, new Code Geass news, than to do something Code Geass related, but with a twist. And that twist is a list, because Weebcast has never done a list like this before. But like I said before earlier, I think I can do it better than these websites. I won't put any names. I'm not like that type of person. But I bet I can do it pretty better. I think I can do it better. guess a little bit of background though. Code Geass, Lelouch of the Resurrection, which is the most recent anime in the franchise, opened back in February of 2019 in over 120 theaters in Japan. Funimation screened the film in North America in May of that same year. And producer Kojiro Taniguchi said in April of 2019 that the film is just phase one of a 10-year plan for new content in the Code Geass franchise. Yes, we have... this dude's working it like it's Kevin Feige over at MCU or something, or, you know, or like, or Oda with One Piece, but, probably a little bit better. Sorry, I had to get my One Piece, dig in there, and for the episode, I think I just hit the quota, and a production team, thank you for ticking that tick off. All I needed is a professional sip of water later, but the first film in the series, compilation recap trilogy, Code Geass, Hangekyō no Lelouch, or I think The Awakening Path, the official English subtitle, Initiation, opened in Japan back in 2017 in October, and the second film was Lelouch, The Rebellion Path, or Code Geass, The Rebellion Path, Transgression, and that was February of 2018, I believe. And the third film, Code Geass, The Imperial Path, Glorification, opened in May of 2018, and Funimation has actually released the trilogy on Blu-ray. Back I think earlier this year in March, I think, which kind of went under the radar with a lot of things. I thought this was huge news that Funimation put this out on Blu-ray and had it was streaming this. I didn't see a lot of people talk about it back in March, but there's that. But yes, I will be doing a very special list based on the Code Geass television series premiered back in 2006, which followed a sequel series in 2008. Inspired tons of various manga and original video anime, including Code Geass Akito the Exiled spinoff, which premiered back in 2012. Another little well-known spinoff that Code Geass kind of kicked the spurs on. But this list exclusively is on just informative information / theories on Lelouch v. Britannia, one of my favorite all-time anime characters. For people that know me, it was definitely one of the first anime that I watched that of his genre. I was not an avid watcher of this genre, mainly. I just wanted the flashy, I wanted the strong female female and male character leads, like Sailor Moon, Saint Seiya, Naruto, the One Pieces, the Bleach, and all that. But Code Geass, for I think a lot of people, and Death Note was also on that list too, where it was definitely the first foray into the psychological shonen type of area for a lot of people growing up. But and I wanted to do. And I know I'm taking a little bit long to get into this list, but I just want to set it up, make sure, look, it'll be fun. You're going to love this list. But this list is exclusively on Lelouch v. Britannia. Like I said, I think you'll enjoy this better than any YouTube top 10 Lelouch facts or any dimly witted written article on Google that you may find randomly. From like 8 years ago, or whatever, about the best facts about Lelouch v. Britannia. I think I could do it better. But Lelouch v. Britannia is one of the most important characters in Code Geass, so it makes sense that here at Weebcast I would eventually create a fact list about him. And pretty much my goal in creating this was to make it more interesting than a lot of these, like I said, websites doing these silly list, I plan to do other lists like these, where I can put down some facts, some theories, and have some actual, you know, evidence in there. And I didn't want to make it, and like I said, it has facts and theories. I don't want to make it boring. I just have nothing but facts. I want to have some factual theories maybe that I could throw in here and mix it with the facts and make things, a little bit, spice it up a little bit. Because, I'm just tired of seeing, the boring fact theory list that you can find on a wiki page for Lelouch. So if you can look up facts on a site like Wikipedia, why even read why read an article, you know what I mean? But disclaimer, I should say that, you know, if you haven't watched both the original Code Geass series and Akito the Exiled, I am going to spoil a few key parts of both series. So just be on the lookout for that. But since now that we got all the objectives out the way, let's begin with Luis V. Britannia fact theory number 10, that he has the most identities in the series. Luis as Julius Kingsley Code Geass Akito, the Exiled OVA 3. But Lelouch throughout each series had to assume a number of identities. Some were forced upon him, whether it was due to Geass, high school. But what's so interesting about the personalities is the people were fooled into thinking each one was the real Lelouch. Colin, for example, went through this very same dilemma. And Lelouch has four identities in the original series plus the OVA. Lelouch Lamperouge, Lelouch as Zero, Lelouch as Julius Kingsley, and then his actual name, Lelouch V. Britannia. See, Lelouch had to become Zero to lead the Japanese against Britannia, Kingsley to serve Charles and his father, Lamperouge so he could attend high school while hiding his nobility. And what I love is that how the lead women in the series, as well as the fans, each favored a different personality. Each personality is different and shows different sides to this very interesting character. It was very entertaining to see Lelouch talk about Zero as Lelouch, or when he was saw photos of himself on posters and even on trains. You know, I love the part in R2 Turn where Lelouch, under Charles's Geass, insults Zero's plan. Just small things like that thrown into the show I thought was delightful. But what was one of your favorite identities? Number nine, though, he is terrible at nightmare frame combat. Lelouch is a brilliant mastermind, you know, and for sure he can pilot a nightmare frame better than your average pilot, but just do not let him fight someone who is actually skilled in nightmare frame combat. Lelouch seems to have the ability to give commands to others, but when it comes to fighting himself, he more often tends to struggle. And I got a few examples, but here are three that always stuck out to me. Number one, he lost to Cornelia in the Gawain, which he was way more powerful than Cornelia's Gloucester. Secondly, he let go of his shields without realizing that created an opening for Luciano Bradley to attempt to kill him. And lastly, Lelouch has to use underhanded, cowardly tactics to defeat, you know, competent pilots, since he could never really defeat a strong pilot head to head, which is, you know, you could say is a good thing, and just shows his mental fortitude in strategizing. But most of it was time because he knew that didn't matter how, you know, he wasn't, he just, it just made up for lack of his skills in piloting and those things, which, you know, was a skill in itself, but let's not get it twisted. It wasn't his strong suit. And I think he clearly, and now you could celebrate him on knowing his faults and weaknesses. That's all dandy. But Lelouch is not a juggernaut for fighting, which is fine, since that is what Suzaku's character is supposed to be. He is the kind of skillful mastermind in terms of combat, especially nightmare frame combat. And I like this flaw, as it makes, you know, combat situations with Lelouch more interesting, and we know he isn't just going to bull rush it through with no obstacles, or I mean, you know, he's not gonna just tear through the competition like water through a paper bag. And the point stays true to Lucius' essence as a person who normally relies on brains over bronze. But moving on to number eight, and one of my more favorite ones on the list is that he never had a claim to the throne by the end of the series. And you're probably asking, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? Well, I love the scene at the end of R2 Turn 20 where Luge comes back to surprise his family, and then he informs them that he killed Charles. You know, it's that famous scene, both dubbed and sub. Check that scene on YouTube. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Everyone, while in shock, ordered the guards to kill him, only for Suzaku to stop them, allowing Luge to use his gyas on everyone to acknowledge him as emperor. You know, and something about this always really bothered me, and it was when Luge said, "I am Luge, the 99th in the line to the throne of Britannia." The reason why Luge in R1 stage 7 states that he's given up his claim to the throne, which is called abdication. And from the research that I conducted, when someone does this, they can't get their claim back. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, scream at me on Twitter or Instagram if I'm wrong, but obviously Luge can use his gyas to become emperor regardless if he had actually had a claim to the throne or not. I just found it very interesting that acts as if he was never abdicated. Maybe he forgot about it, or maybe he just purposely chose to ignore that he abdicated the throne, but it's okay, because no one else seemed to remember really either, except diehard Code Geass fans. But on to number 7, he really only accomplished a third of his goals. Luge, since the very beginning of Code Geass, he had 3 main goals: destroy Britannia, get revenge for his mother's death, and thirdly, make a kinder world for Nunnally to live in. And, you know, there are obviously sub-goals under those, but I'm trying to simplify things here. But when you actually really look at the end of the series, how many of these goals does Luge actually accomplish? And keep in mind that I'm aware that his goals changed throughout the series and they evolved, but this is examining the initial reasons why Luge started the rebellion in the first place. Luge doesn't destroy Britannia. In fact, he ends up ruling it during Zero Requiem. And even after his death, Britannia remains a world power, albeit a force for good. For the second goal, Luge does get revenge for his mother's death by killing Vivi, but he did not know that Vivi killed his mother at the time. So, ironically, Luge actually kills his own mother when he realized that she never cared about him or Nunnally. So not only does Luge not get his vengeance, he did a whole 180 and killed his own mother. Figure that out. And for the last one, Luge does make a kinder place for Nunnally to live in. So in the end, Nunnally was really the most important thing to Luge, and that's why of the 3 main goals, helping Nunnally was the only one that Luge actually accomplished, and the only one that really matters. Now, on to number 6, which I guess this may not, I don't know if this will come to a surprise to anyone, but he is a super genius in more ways than one. He has very many facets to his genius, and how he puts this on exhibition throughout the canon. But I've seen, over the years, so many critiques on Luge. And one of those that he only seems smart because, by contrast, his enemies are really, really dull and dumb. But I'm going to debunk that by going over how brilliant Luge actually is. I want you guys to sit down for my Luge haters. There can't be that many out there, right? But all for the Luge haters out there, let me debunk this right here for you. I'm about to put down some facts for you real quick. Luge can calculate Shinkro's shields, a task that Rolo states to be very difficult. He's able to multitask and run 2 separate organizations at once without any issues or hiccups: the school festival and then the Black Knights. Luge is able to hack into almost anything and figure out the inner workings of any machine, and even the wiring of a bomb. Diehard noted that how Luge is able to see the battlefield and conduct strategy in a way no one else has ever done or can. Luge is also a brilliant chess player and often beats chess masters for money. One of my favorite ones. He's charismatic and is able to motivate anyone to follow him and fight for him. He can gauge a situation and figure out the best course of action, even when he has to make a split decision. Luge can even predict what his opponents will say, which I think it was a little quirk of his that people tend to forget about him. He used to finish people's sentences in his head, or sometimes out loud. In addition to being so charismatic, he is probably one of his best skills at is one of my favorite things about him is at managing people. And leading more than one organizations at once, concocting different plans from different angles, and also within each of his personality into his identities and personalities, is what makes this feat alone ridiculous. That he can manage people from different sides, from different walks of life, and have them work under him happily and knowingly that as if that it'll benefit them in some way, even though it's really just going to benefit Lelouch in the end. Look, and I can go on and on, but you kind of get the point here. Lelouch's intelligence is impressive and is really the driving force behind why he succeeds at Zero throughout the series in the first place. Now, the next one is going to go a little bit back about why, about his claim to the throne and the Emperor. And number five is that he would have made it really an excellent Emperor, really. Lelouch, as I mentioned earlier, gave up his claim to the throne. But despite this, he took over anyways to become the 99th Emperor of Britannia. So it was too bad that his rise was due to the Zero Requiem and not through normal succession. But this is just a little theory of mine that if Lelouch took power outside of the Zero Requiem, he probably would have been it would have been an excellent Emperor. Number one, he's excellent at uniting all people from different backgrounds. And Dithard even explained this to the Black Knights when Lelouch was on Kamine Island. And second, Lelouch cares for the weak, and he would have shown them the same compassion as he does for Nunnally. Thirdly, Lelouch wanted to end all fighting. So there was a good chance he would have gone the peaceful route with the EU and with the Chinese Federation. Because after all, he really only wanted a gentle and kinder world. If Lelouch ruled with the qualities that motivated him to start the rebellion, he would have been a great emperor. And my only concern is if he would use any of his manipulation tactics while emperor. But I'll leave that for the better speculators to speculate about. Number four, though. The number of people that he used his Geass on is actually ridiculous. I don't know if you guys remember that scene where I think it might have been Code Geass R2 turn 22. Not even two minutes into that episode, where you just see Lelouch ordering over 1,000 Britannian troops to be his slaves. Lelouch's Geass is just powerful, as he can target multiple people at once, assuming he has an eye contact with them. And it also evolves to the highest level possible, which is only something his father, Charles V. Britannia, reached. The question is now, throughout the original series, how many people did Lelouch use his Geass on? Well, you aren't lucky, because I went through and counted each instance. And keep in mind, this will be off by 20 to 30 people. In some scenes, like the ones where Lelouch tells people to move another car on the train, it's hard to tell exactly how many people were affected exactly. But with that in mind, Lelouch used this Geass on approximately 1,546 people. He only used it on 87 people in R1 compared to 1,459 in R2. The most amount he used it on was, as I explained earlier, in turn 22, when he ordered 1,120 Britannian soldiers to be his slaves. Yes, I counted each and every one of them, who was shown with a little help with multiplication. But the last person he used his Geass on was, do you guys know it? Say it with me now. Say it before I say it. Oh, you're not bad. You're pretty smart. All right, looking a little cool Geass Stan. Yes, the last person he used his Geass on was Nunnally. I love data. I love statistical data. So doing this stuff naturally, interested me. So, and if you ever want to see something, if you want to see a little, maybe, I don't know, might be do it on Patreon or just maybe do it on my Twitter or Instagram. You want to go, if you want something where I can do that shows through all of Luigi's commands and the people he used the Geass on, let me know on Twitter or let me know on Instagram. I'll definitely happily do that. And then maybe I could talk about maybe some of the top moments where Luigi used his Geass commands. But number three, all the girls at Ashford Academy thinks he's attractive. Now, as a straight man, it's hard for me to understand why girls find him to be so hot. No, actually, I take that back. I understand exactly why he's hot, because I know he's hot. Look, have you seen Luge? Have you seen that hair? You've seen his eyes? Well, actually, don't look into his eyes too much, man. You know what the hell he's going to do, but look at him. Tall, handsome, slim. What doesn't he do wrong? He's smart. He's good with money. Now that I think about it, why isn't he mine? All right, moving on. So, but anyone who's listening out there, let me know why you think Lush is so attractive, because I know why. But if you have any other reasons, let me know. But regardless of this, Lush has to stay clear from a lot of people. Sayako, as Lush, got him on so many dates by simply saying yes to everyone. In that same episode, every girl was trying to grab Lush's hat so they would be his girlfriend during Cupid Day. And there was even a scene where three high school girls wore basically nothing to try to seduce him. We even see an earlier part in R1 Stage 6, I believe, where Millie offered anyone who caught the cat to get a kiss from someone in the council. And we get that famous scene of several girls hoping it would be from Luge. And I always found it odd how Shirley had only had to talk to Colin about if she liked Luge when half the school did. I guess she never considered the other ladies to be a legit threat, but Luge was truly a lucky guy, even if he never really appreciated or cared. Number two, he does die at the end of R2. Now, to some of you probably listening to this, you're probably, I can see it right now. You're rolling your eyes. And too quick to think of the new film that just came out. Keep in mind that the movie is from an alternative timeline, and even where Lelouch did not want to come back after Suzuko stabbed him. But the reason I'm putting this up on this list episode of mine is because people is that that were speculating at the end of R2 if CC was talking about Lelouch or talking to him. We know now from a picture drama and from the author himself that Lelouch did in fact die at the end of R2. This was where this this was here more to put it to bed the rumor that he might still been alive in the original timeline and original series, but no, he's dead. Number one though, he showed more romantic feelings for CC than Shirley or Colin. Now, before you try to crucify me again and get angry. I have talked about on Twitter where I kind of broke down Lush's relationship with the main girls from Code Geass months ago. I might have to bring that up on Twitter again, but even in that rambling I was doing, I'm pretty sure I still said that I pretty much proved that he really only loved CC. Since the main authors never confirmed in the original series that Lush loved CC, this is partially headcanon, but there is still enough evidence in favor of CC more than the other two, especially over the any other love interests, which is why I lean in this direction. So I just wanted to bring up a short little list of why, of my argument why he loves CC, and here we are. He only really opened to her and showed her his true side. He literally confesses his love to her in R2 turn 23. I'm pretty sure. I think he just straight up says he confessed his love to her in that episode. I mean, what do you think would have happened had Colin had not interrupted that moment? Next, they both share many moments of teasing in the form of flirting. She could challenge him in no way no one else really could. And lastly, he always went to her when he needed comfort. Example, right after using Geass on Euphemia. Also, even after, after listening to the episode, and you're still not somehow convinced, I understand. I would love to hear any counterpoints and counterarguments. I would love to read them or send voice messages if you have an account on Anchor. But you can mostly definitely do it on my Instagram at WeebcastTV and on Twitter on Based Senpai. But I have a bonus one, and it still has to do with CC. Maybe do I like CC a lot? Yeah, I like CC a lot. Right? Sorry, blame me all you want, but he was always close with CC even before confessing his love, though. Now, CC lives at the school dorm in the same room as Lelouch, so naturally the two would need to be comfortable living together. Suffice to say, they become quite comfortable around each other by the end. And Lelouch has seen CC naked at least, once? So we know that after he cleaned her room, but CC has shown many times to be very comfortable with changing right in front of him into her undies. You know, there is even a scene in the show where Lelouch is in the same bed as CC. So much for CC saying gentlemen would sleep on the floor. Now I'm going to assume nothing X-rated ever happened while the two shared a bed, but some speculate otherwise. But do you, and I'll do me. And I love this point because when Lelouch taunts Mao about getting every aspect of CC, even parts that he has never seen, I guess he was not lying. But in finality here, if you've gotten this far into the episode, I want to say thank you very, very much. If you reached this far into the episode, I just want to give you my humble thanks. Because I secretly love to do these types of fact, theory type of episodes. I've had some already recorded and kind of stored up, but I never published any of them because I didn't think they were all that interesting. But I was like, you know what, they might bring a nice little different to my podcast show here and there. So I'm very appreciative when people finish these episodes. But you know, that's my Lelouch v. Britannia fact list. Did you like it? Well, let me know on Twitter or Instagram. And if you did enjoy, let me know what your favorite fact or theory was. And especially if my entire episode and list was completely wrong, then you can easily scream at me and comment about how wrong I was as well. Like I said, I'm human and I make a lot of mistakes, probably more mistakes than a lot of people. But did you like the list? Like I said, let me know on Twitter or on Instagram. And especially if you like to hear more Code Geass content, especially with that project announced that was announced December 5th, I believe. So yeah, let me know if you want to hear some more Code Geass content. I would love to do it. But this has been C-Dub, a.k.a. Mori, a.k.a. The Independent Variable, a.k.a. The Man Who Has Geass in Both Eyes. And I'm out of 3000. See ya.